Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This summer, Charlotte will host its second national political convention. Essentially, we were the only city who bid on hosting the GOP in August. It seemed like a layup, but our efforts have been long and laborious, stretching back 20 years. In fact, we secured the 2012 Democratic Convention after several failed attempts at a time when we were reaching well beyond our class as a city. Even then, Charlotte Mayor Anthony Fox, a Democrat, was wary of another attempt.
I initially had no intention of putting an application in for the DNC. I thought it was a bridge too far, quite frankly. I knew we would have challenges with hotel rooms. I thought it would be great for the city, but it just seemed like something we couldn't do. And frankly, back in those times, we were also in the midst of digging out of a recession. And that's also another factor that initially played into my thinking.
But we got it, we pulled it off, and now we're getting ready to be in the spotlight again. The story of Charlotte's road to the political big time is told by Steve Harrison and his co-host Lisa Wharf in the first episode of WFAE's new Inside Politics podcast. And Steve is here to share more of the story of that long and winding road to political success. Good morning. Welcome back.
Thanks.
The first episode of Inside Politics became available on January 23rd, so it's still out there wherever you get your podcasts. And it's an exploration of our 20-year journey toward the RNC. Why did you decide, you and Lisa, decide to start there?
So I think it's, a lot of us remember 2012 when we hosted the Democrats, but, you know, really this whole story goes back more than 20 years. And I think it's interesting because in the late 1990s, Charlotte decides they want to host a convention. And I think it's just interesting because it's so much part of the city's DNA, right? We always want to be, you know, we are always kind of jumping up and down, look at me, look at me, look at me. And so in the late 90s, people like Republican Mayor Pat McCrory, Mayor Pro Tem Len Wheeler decide, you know, look at us, we want to do this. And at the time, you know, Charlotte really didn't have much of a chance. Much smaller city, but
not much to offer.
Not much to offer. I mean, you know, there's no arena here, a few hotels, so.
Well, that's what makes this podcast instructive for people to listen to, even if you don't give a darn about politics. This is very instructive to see how far we've come in a relatively short amount of time, because we've grown quickly. This was a very different place when we first tried to get a political convention. Talk about that.
Well, right. So the Spectrum Center, which, you know, has been here since 2005. I mean, that wasn't that did not exist. The convention would have been out at the old Coliseum on Tivola, which has been demolished. So many fewer hotel rooms, so many fewer places to eat downtown, no light rail line. And so that was the city they were pitching to host a convention. So, I mean, I think we can all kind of say if they'd had it, it probably would have been a bit of a drag, right?
And we got some tournament. I forgot which was it, the NCAA? Or the
so it was the Final Four.
Final Four. And we had to create, as you point out, this Potemkin Village downtown of fake bars and restaurants, which were there for a week. And then,
right.
Then they were gone.
So that was 1994, and that was at the old Coliseum. And so there was nothing to do downtown. And so you've got national media, you've got everyone coming here. So, right, they created this little tent city and to give people something to do. And of course, I mean, you know, probably people did appreciate have something to do, but of course the national media loved being able to write about it even
yes.
more and make fun of us for when they called it the Street of Champions.
So how many attempts to snag a convention did we go through before getting the 2012 Democratic Convention?
So there was the two in the late 90s trying to get the 2000. The 2000 RNC, the 2000 DNC, both of those failed. At least with the RNC, Republican officials came down and gave us a site visit. Mm-hmm. Pat McCrory told us a pretty funny story where, you know, the city's pitch was they took a limo out to the Speedway and drove him around, and he kind of laughs about that as being a bit silly. So both of those failed. And then 10 years later, Susan Burgess, the late mayor pro tem, a Democrat, she decided that the city should bid on the DNC. And, of course, that was successful.
Got it. What tipped the scale that time, do you think?
I think a big part of it was there was kind of a shift among the big parties around 2008 in terms of deciding. These conventions used to always be in big cities,
right?
Big, typical convention cities. And, you know, starting with the 2000 election that was so close, the Gore-Bush election, I think the party started looking at placing these conventions strategically in swing states. So in 2008, the Democrats went out to Denver. The Republicans were in St. Paul. I mean, because they've had their eye on Minnesota for a long time. And, you know, Trump almost won it 3 years ago. So I think Charlotte, Obama won Charlotte by half a percentage point in 2008. So it was like a good choice to make the Republicans play defense in 2012.
So some of our earlier attempts, when you look back at it and you listen to you and Lisa talk about these earlier attempts, they seem audacious. Given our limited capacity for hosting anybody over a dinner of 20, that was even suspect. And a little naive, the fact that we would even put our hat in the ring seemed a little naive, almost embarrassing, a little too eager.
That's right, yeah.
Were those failed attempts, however, grist for the ultimate success we had in landing the DNC and now the RNC?
Yeah, I think so.
We learned something from that?
Yeah, I think you have to. It was probably good to fail the first time and realize what you need. And you know, if you look at now, we're going to do 2020. There's really no doubt that Charlotte can pull this off. It's much bigger than it was 8 years ago.
Did it act as a catalyst for bringing the amenities and the things necessary to host a big convention? Are they the result of our failed attempts and our saying, by gosh, we're going to do it. We have to do these things. We're going to do those too.
I mean, I think, yeah, you could make an argument with the arena because, I mean, I moved here in 2006, so I wasn't here for the huge arena vote. I know you were, but that was about more than basketball. I mean, that was this idea, like, we need this downtown arena to host all these events.
Well, that's why I asked. Voters said no, and then we were overruled by elected officials.
That's right.
Is that why? Because they wanted something in the future that they knew they couldn't get if they didn't have this building?
I mean, I think that was part of it. There was never any talk about, oh, if we build this, we'll host a political convention. It wasn't, you know, that cut and dry, but it was all part of this package of this will help us, be big time.
So we lost the 2000 Republican convention, but that same year we did get another convention with a nationally memorable moment.
So, as we set out this year to defeat the divisive forces that would take freedom away, I want to say those fighting words for everyone within the sound of my voice to hear and to heed, and especially for you, Mr. Gore. From my cold, dead hands.
That's then NRA President Charlton Heston at the old arena off Billy Graham Parkway, where they held the NRA convention that year. Pretty big convention. How did we handle them?
So I think that was actually – I think that may have been it. That was at the convention center, you know, which just opened 4 years ago. Right, and the NRA
was the convention center?
And the NRA is huge. I mean, it is a huge convention, and the city now doesn't even think we're big enough to hold it. But, yeah, it's kind of funny. You look at that – you played that quote, and so – right. What's the most memorable thing? I mean, who can remember anything about the 2000 Republican National Convention? It's pretty hard, but everyone remembers Cold Dead Hands.
And then we got the DNC in 20, I can never remember the year, 12, right?
2012.
2012. That went very well. Democrats seemed to enjoy themselves. They liked the proximity of everything to the convention hall, et cetera. This time we have more hotel rooms available near the convention center than we had then, more restaurants. And I'm told that the Republican convention has fewer delegates. It's actually a smaller gathering. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I think you've got like probably a little bit smaller convention, a much bigger city. So there's really no question that Charlotte can do this. You know, the big topic this time was that apparently no one else wanted it.
Yes, well, that's what's been going around. That we got this by default because nobody else wanted it. But Republican City Councilman Tariq Bakari takes exception to that.
So the fact of the matter is, when this started, after all the serious contenders were weeded down into this list, 7 cities wanted this. They absolutely wanted it. And it was narrowed down to 5, and then 4, and then 2. And now that we're at the altar, we can say, well, it's just us or Vegas. But that is absolutely a false narrative if you believe that no other cities wanted this.
Is that a false narrative?
So there were, like, at one point in January 2018, 7 cities, the RNC had hosted this Interstate Cities Day in D.C. 7 cities came up there and, like, all right, let's check this out. But no, none of them bid except Charlotte. So I mean, wanted this, I think that's a bit of a stretch. And then this reference to Las Vegas was, the city of Las Vegas and the tourism authority did not bid. They had a state Republican official who said, oh, yeah, we can do it. We'll kind of figure it out on
but
the But
they
the
didn't
go.
Have a plan.
They had no plan.
Okay. So the convention is coming. This politics of podcast, Inside Politics, will continue through the convention.
That's right.
What's coming up in the next couple of episodes?
So we're going to look back at kind of like at 2012 and 2020 and some of the things that have changed. We're going to look at the economic impact of this, the state of the Republican Party. So much to talk about.
Steve Harrison from Inside Politics and WFAE News. Thank you for joining us. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.